Welcome to Real World Theology, episode 67. On this episode of the podcast, we are talking about minions. Joining me for the first time is Alexis Johnson and someone that you all probably know well by now, Josh Crabb from the site. So Minions is supposedly family entertainment, animated film, the kind that you would expect many parents to pull up, drop their kids off, and laugh away, and then pick them up and buy them toys, etc., etc. But we kind of question, how good is that? Is that something that you should be doing in the first place? Not being judgmental, but just asking honest questions. So we talk about the film, we talk about our expectations and the subsequent disappointments. We kind of maybe question if the minions should have possibly stayed just as sidekicks instead of being brought to the forefront and having their own film. And we kind of explore if there's any redeeming lessons we can take from the film. It's very slapstick, it's not very deep. And because of that, we kind of want to talk about how we should engage the entertainment we drop our kids off to or we watch with our children. We hope it's encouraging. I think it is. And if it's not, you can tell us why not. So here it is, episode 67, Minions and Non-Family Entertainment. Movie theaters are modern-day pulpits. Real-world theology exists to shed a light on the narratives that are shaping our culture, and to encourage viewers to recognize that entertainment is not mindless.
Okay.
Fun fact, Josh was almost dead earlier this week.
What?
I was?
Well, you made it sound like you were almost dead.
Yes. Oh man, I totally forgot. Yes, uh-huh. I was very ill. It took me the rest of the week to catch up on all the articles that we had to post. That's why two of them went up at like 9:30 at night. Gosh,
what happened?
I just got like unbelievably sick on Tuesday night or on Tuesday afternoon. Like I went into work. I'm a pastor, and so I went in and had like our Tuesday morning meeting. And after it was over, I told the other pastor, my coworker, I was like, David, I need to go home. I'm gonna fall over dead. And so then I went home and just proceeded to feel like incredible chills, followed by feeling like my hands and my feet were on fire. And it was the most amazing experience in my life to go from being freezing cold and feeling like my skin is crawling to having like the Tylenol kick in, and all of a sudden my whole body just went warm, and it was crazy. And I was really sick until the next day, and it took me the whole rest of the day the next day to recover from that amazing sickness, whatever the heck that was. I haven't been that sick in probably 10 years. It was crazy. Wow.
That's what happens when you do drugs and drink at the same time.
So I feverishly texted Mikey at maybe, I don't know what the heck time it was. It was pretty late at your time.
Yeah, it was later-ish. I was actually, I was getting ready for bed. But that's kind of misleading because Laura makes me go to bed way earlier than I want right now because she's on some medication. And it, like, as soon as she takes it, she's like done for the night.
Sure.
She said to me on more than one occasion, like 9:30 is like it's respectable for adults, right? I'm like, no. So, but because it keeps moving, because I have to draw the line somewhere. You have to be like, sure. Picard. I have to be like, we must draw the line here. Must draw the line now. You know, kind of like, you know.
Nice. And I always remember that line too. That's hilarious.
Nice. Because I know, because what's happening, you know, she's like, you give her an inch, you take a mile. Because then it becomes like 9 o'clock, right? Right? That, like, adults go to bed at 9 o'clock, right? I'm like, stop it. I've got too much to do to go to bed at 9. So I don't remember when it was you text me, but it was probably around 8:30 or 9 my time.
Yeah, and so I just reached down from my bed and was like, please post the article on Facebook.
You're reaching up from your deathbed to hit the send button.
That's hilarious. I mean, it's hilarious.
The best part of the end of that story is he just said, okay, and then the next morning was like, hope you feel better. Nice. I could have died.
Well,
the last text he got was from his podcast partner saying, get better.
No, it was just okay. I mean, I wanted you to take the okay as in, like, Schwarzenegger going into the molten thing with the thumbs up. It was like, okay, Josh. Okay. Maybe I should have just emojied the thumbs up.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of that.
Wait. We've managed to tie it all back to the last podcast, emojis and Terminator. Yep. Very good.
What were you saying? Hilarious.
I'm sorry, Alexis. I started yelling.
Wow.
There's no, it's fine. Well, I'm glad that you didn't die. Certainly glad to hear that.
I certainly can't tell a difference. I think it's so great. I mean, I've talked to Josh about this before. Josh talks about his love of the structure that I typically put in place. And he will text me and be like, I'm so sorry that I can't get this up by whatever time. And I'm like, okay, whatever.
I'm slowly learning not to care.
I mean, like, you know, like, I want you to care, but like, you know, but I mean, your texts were like they weren't just apologies. They were like treatises on like, how sorry you were, like, in your soul. I'm like, it's a website, dog.
Like, I take this very seriously.
I was like, you didn't forget, like, your kid at the supermarket or something.
Like, not yet.
I was like, you just couldn't post this for, like, an extra 3 hours.
I gotta go, guys. Sorry. I remembered something.
Speaking of.
Yeah, well, I can understand how you feel, Josh, because that's how I always feel. Like, obviously, you just saw in a good example of how I can feel so rotten so quickly, you know, if I make a mistake. So I understand how that I am always a perfectionist. I want to give everybody my best. So when I don't, or if I'm late on something, I'm like, no, because I'm like, I swear, I'm a very like, I am like a super punctual person. So it was like killing me that I was like, I can't believe I got the time wrong. And I don't know daylight savings time. And it was ugly.
What's that like? Guilt? I don't understand. You guys, it's so good getting a fresh perspective on life. I should be more guilty about things. Speaking of guilt, see my segue. I have a lot of guilt for having to go see Minions. How about you guys?
I don't know if it's guilt.
Oh, hey, so we have this movie that. When they announced it last year, yeah, last year saw Despicable Me 2. They announced that this summer we were going to get Minions. And honestly, the Minions were my least favorite part of the Despicable Me movies. I mean, like, I appreciated the comedic relief that they brought to the thing, but I wasn't like, I need more of that comedic relief. Like, I really liked the stories, and I thought Despicable Me was, you know, not a story that we've never heard before, but I thought it was done in a unique way. Steve Carell was really funny. It was visually entertaining, and I thought it was fairly heartwarming. And it had more to it than you would expect, especially from a studio that we hadn't heard a lot about, from like Illumination. And then they're like, okay, Despicable Me 2, more Minion-centric, didn't like it as much, and now a whole movie about Minions. But by the time the movie actually came around, I saw some of the previews. I said, hey, it kind of looks like they might be giving this like a real story, might be giving this a real shot. They're talking about how they need somebody. They're talking about how they're going from master to master. They're searching from someone. I was like, hey, there might be some depth here. I like this. I'll give it a shot. I know it's going to make a kajillion dollars anyway, so we probably need to talk about it, because if something's going to be seen by that many people and that many people's kids, we should probably at least have a conversation about it. Mm. And I saw it. Super disappointed. So what I want to know from you guys, to kind of set the stage for what we're talking about this evening, is, like, did you enjoy the Despicable Me movies, and kind of what expectation did that give you going into watch Minions in the first place? And as we always do on the show, I let whoever's on Skype go first, but two people on Skype, so we let the newbie go first. Alexis, ladies first.
Well, my husband loved the first Despicable Me film, and I hadn't watched it yet, so I watched those with him, and I loved both that one and the second one. I thought they had really great themes and messages about family, especially adoption, which is something that doesn't get talked a lot about, especially mm-hmm. in children's films, or what's family films, I guess. It's not really always for kids, because Despicable Me definitely has adult humor. And I really liked the second one, I think in some ways better than the first one, just because I liked the aspect with Lucy and all that kind of stuff, and then like finding a mother and how important the mother's role is mm-hmm. for the girls and stuff. But I really enjoyed the whole themes of adoption and family, and then also there was a sense of Gru, you know, forsaking his life as a villain because he found a new role as a father. And I really was moved by that, you know, even though it was a fun movie that was hysterical and all that kind of stuff. It's the Minions movie did not have that sense of morality in it at all. And the whole thing about being a villain was very, I don't know, it was almost like it was okay, like they were saying it was okay, like I had like a really bad taste in my mouth about it. I don't know if you guys felt the same way, but especially with that family that was robbing the banks and like with end of the film, you know, Gru is a young guy or young kid and he's a villain then.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just didn't really feel like there was as much of a moral punch to this film. And it was really creepy and disturbing, but I'll let you guys go into what you thought.
No, I was going to say, I think they never really had a contrast, or they never contrasted that villainy with another option. Yeah. It was just like, yeah, people are bad, and that's awesome. Usually, I feel like in most family films, you have the bad boy or the bad guy. You know, either he's pushing the limit, or he is a legit bad guy that's kind of a cool bad guy. And the kids are like, yeah, but something happens and we see that villainy kind of has a price, or you have to lose a piece of yourself to be that way. And it's not really as cool as you'd think. And, you know, not always cool that the good guy comes out shiny. Those are kind of boring, but that there's some complexity to good and bad. And so that you can start a conversation, you can get kids thinking that the world's maybe not as black and white as some things. But this one was just, I completely agree with what you're describing there. I mean, did you have high hopes for Minions? Like,
No, I did not. And even my husband, who loves the Minions, didn't have high hopes for it. Thankfully, he works at a movie theater, the same one I used to work there too. So we didn't have to pay for it. So that was great. And we went at 10:30 at night with a bunch of people like our age. There was like no kids there. It was hysterical. And all of us were just kind of like, what the heck, when that movie was over. We're like, everybody's faces, like as they walked out, was really funny. So it was, we were just all kind of laughing at that. But even my husband was just like, he just turned to me immediately and was like, okay, that was really bad. I was like, yeah, but there was just some disturbing stuff in it. Like it wasn't just like adult humor, because I like adult humor in family films, but mm-hmm. it was like there was just something really off. I don't know if you guys felt the same way, but I was like, I don't feel right about this movie. It just was weird. And it could have just been the villain thing. The whole like kind of not really giving a clear cut opinion on villainy and what it actually means, and like finding the biggest, baddest boss to serve like as an aspiration. I don't know. It was just, it didn't really tie up any of the points it was trying to make. It would start with something like that family, or, you know, like different things that happen in the story, and then it would just leave it all together. And it was just really strange. So I don't know.
So Josh, did you resonate with kind of what Alexis is talking about?
Well, I certainly resonated with the fact that it wasn't very good, and completely disappointing.
But
yeah, I mean, it was, and I didn't think it was actually that funny or original in any sort of way. So it got really boring really fast, and just it didn't have the same sort of refreshing funniness that Despicable Me and Despicable Me 2 had. And it didn't even, as a fan of Despicable Me and Despicable Me 2, I've seen those movies so many times because my kids love them. We own both of them, and they were common, they've been for a number of years, common car ride movies. So I've heard the lines and, you know, them repeating them to each other constantly for years. And so the movies are very close to me in sort of a sentimental kind of way. So, you know, I was scouting out Minions for the kids, first of all. Not in any sort of like, I thought, you know, I mean, it was the Minions, so of course you're going to see their butts the whole movie. but in this, just to see if it was any good, and it just wasn't. It was boring. Alexis, it was interesting that you touched on the fact that, you know, there was this family of robbers, and it very much presented them in just a way of like, hey, look, here's this family that robs people.
And it's funny.
Isn't that funny? And I was like, no, because you didn't really unpack the family at all. They were just there.
And, no, exactly.
You know, and yeah, I thought kind of I thought it was kind of clever and funny. You know, I thought the idea of like a underground villain con was kind of funny.
Yeah.
But I felt like they passed by that too quickly, which is interesting. I felt like I'd like to see a little bit more about that. And, you know, I mean, they threw in Gru references throughout the movie. So it was very much trying to tie it to the other two. But, you know, it didn't seem original. It seemed very plain vanilla. The plot was extremely inconsequential. You know, you don't really feel like they learned anything. And so it's like they had some ideas of what to do. I just don't think they knew what to do with it after the first third of the movie. And so then the like you guys said, there wasn't sort of that counterbalance of good. The only real counterbalance of good was these hapless minions. And also, for some reason, the Queen of England. So, you know, it seemed really bizarre. And that's actually the second movie I've seen this year that has the Queen of England being like kicking people's butts. For some reason, I don't know if all of a sudden we've become very, 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 very obsessed with the Queen of England having like secret karate powers.
Yeah.
Probably ever since she dropped out of that helicopter with why am I spacing out his name?
Is it Daniel Craig?
Yeah, that's it.
Jeez. Okay.
the Olympics in London. So anyways, you know, I don't know. But hey,
fair play to the queen. She's hardcore now.
Totally.
Well, so I'm really tracking with something that both you guys have mentioned, because most people who probably listen to this show, I would say just by noticing what we have discussed on episodes of this podcast, know that me and prude are not two things that really ever get confused. I'm more than willing to watch almost anything and try to find some kind of, you know, redeeming thing, or see what questions it's asking, or see what audience it's speaking to. So I never really track with the whole, oh, it's got this in it or that in it, and we should really stay away. Because, you know, like I said, it's part of the purpose of the podcast. We engage, we don't shun off. And I don't have a problem to a certain degree with people who do that, because they're doing it usually for reasons that are personal convictions, which I respect, or they're doing it for like kind of protecting their family, which I think is also one, biblical and very noble. So I don't have that issue. And like I said, not many people would ever say that I'm very squeamish about anything, but I'm sitting here watching Minions and I'm expecting slapstick minion butt goofball comedy. And I'm at least expecting some of that turn that Alexis, you talking about, just wasn't there. And yeah. We've all mentioned the family, the bank robber family. When I always had this out of body experience when the minions get in the car with his family and I'm like, oh, obviously they're going to VillainCon. Obviously they're hiding that they're bad guys. Ha ha ha. I get the subtle joke. I mean, not that funny, but ha ha ha. I get it. And then they stop at this place and I'm so used to family films, even the previous Despicable Me films, they have violence to some degree in them. They have guns, but they're always like, you know, piranha gun or freeze ray, you know, things like that. Things that are kind of absurdist that don't give you this sense of, that takes you one step back from reality and says like, okay, you know, understand that this isn't real. It's absurdist and it's supposed to be silly. Like this violence is silly.
Yeah.
In this case, they all pull out like real guns. And I just had this out of body experience. I said, what is happening? I was like, did they literally, like in this family, but they all just pulled out guns. Like even the little girl, like just pulled
the baby.
Out. Yeah. They all pulled out.
The baby.
I was like, why do they, you know, they're not like funny guns or doing some kind of intricate, silly robbery to kind of make a joke of the whole thing. Like they legit run into a bank as a family with real looking guns and then run out and have cops like shooting at them. I'm like, I just like I said, it blew my mind. I was like, oh my gosh, because I had a much different viewing experience than you did, Alexis. I think there was a birthday party in the one I was in.
Oh yeah.
There was so many kids. And I was just like, I would have had to really rethink this if I was a parent. Like this isn't funny. It's not funny to watch, like I said, a baby with a real looking gun. That's not silly. And so I remember talking to my wife about it and I was like, was this just me? Am I being like weirdly prudish about this one thing finally? And she was like, no, it was really weird. And so I don't have children yet, but I would ask like almost anybody, like, would you take children to see this movie? Like, I mean, yeah. I don't know what, you know, if there are nephews or nieces or, you know, I know Josh, you have a number of little crabs running around. and you said, you know, you said you went to kind of preview the movie. Like, would you take your kids to see this movie?
Well, I don't think I would take them to it because I don't want to, because I don't want to see it again.
Yeah.
Because actually, this was funny. I'm glad you brought it up because I wanted to bring it up. Because the kids were like, oh, you know, how was the Minions movie? Like, can we go see it? And we have here in Appleton, we have $5 Tuesdays. So that's typically when I would take the kids is on Tuesdays, because then it's a lot cheaper to take three kids and myself to a movie than it would mm-hmm. be any other day of the week. I was like, no, I don't think we're going to go. And they were like, why aren't we going to go? And I was like, well, guys, it's not very good. Like, I didn't think it was funny and it was kind of boring. And they're like, their brains could not register that I was trying to level with them that this movie could somehow not be the greatest thing they've ever seen. And they were just like, no, it's not. And they started getting very upset that I would not. I was like, I'm not taking you. I am not going to take you to go see this movie. And they're like, Dad, come on.
You didn't have like one child like in a large chair, like puffing on a bubble pipe saying, yes, Father, I understand. The Academy won't recognize this film, but that doesn't mean that we can't find some enjoyment from it. Bubble.
Wish.
Yeah. No,
that's no. So, you know, I think it was just the quality. Like, I didn't find it very funny. Like, you know, I took them to see Inside Out because I had seen it before, and
you wanted them to know what it looked like to see a grown man cry.
Yeah, exactly. And I was just keep looking forward, kids. But you know, I mean, it wasn't necessarily some of those different elements, but I mean, now that you bring that up, it is kind of disconcerting that they some of the more goofball elements of the movie, and even the scene where Herb is torturing them is very much real stuff, even though, you know, it's played off as inane
because
minions are apparently stretchy. But you know, I could see how it's potentially just play out a little bit differently because it just didn't seem as goofball ish as it seems when it's Gru doing all of those things. You know, it's people who are very serious about being villains, whereas Gru was the greatest villain, but he was kind of hapless, just like you know, it's like Vector was. They're both sort of hapless nerds that happen to own an unending amount of money for some reason.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, and it's just different. It didn't seem goofy, you know? It seemed self-serious in a very not serious way, if that makes any sense.
I get it. So like Alexis, like, you've already admitted that there, like, you like adult humor in family films, kind of some of those jokes just like snuck in there, but like, is there anything that you could see a kid getting from this? Like, are they just like watching the Minions be Three Stooges? Is that what's happening?
I think so. I mean, I agree with Josh about the quality. Like, something we've been talking about via email was, you know, that quality matters, not just the content. Like, because I'm with you on the, I'm not all that squeamish all the time, but there's just certain things that do cross the line for me. But one thing that I thought was really, that I was going to mention that I thought was kind of disturbing too, is that, I mean, there's some innuendo in the first two films, but it's not like in your face or weird. But I thought like the scenes with Scarlet Overkill and Herb, like, were kind of like a little too suggestive. I was like, whoa, we did not need to know that. And then just like some of their talks. And then when they hypnotized those guards in like the Tower of London and they started dancing, that was really disturbing. I mean, there was just a bunch of stuff like that where I was like, okay, TMI, like, you know, it was a little weird. And I don't know, but I just got kind of a weird feeling whenever they would talk or any of that kind of innuendo from some of the historical things too. It was just kind of strange to me. I was like, I don't know. I would be like, I don't think kids would really get it. I think it was supposed to be geared towards adults, but it wasn't like even funny for adults. It was just awkward. Mm-hmm. So
no, yeah, I'm glad you said that because I totally forgot that. I think I had that in my notes on the movie where I was really kind of strangely uncomfortable with how they were interacting when they first met each other. I was like, are they really going to push this to a point where I'm going to be even more uncomfortable? I'm really scared. I'm scared, guys. I'm here all alone. I don't know what to do. You know, yeah. I mean, it was really strange. I could have sworn I put something funny in my notes. Maybe I took it out. Anyways.
Well, so the whole concept that this could be for all ages, I feel like we're deconstructing a little bit, but even so, it seems like there's a greater call here. And maybe I'm being over dramatic, and if I am, but I just think that there's
okay.
Like there has to be some level of discernment, and this is what it's hard for me to do because right now I'm not a parent, so I don't want to tell other people how to parent their kids. But you know, that's what happens. I don't want to do this, but I really feel like what we try to do with engaging entertainment and realizing that entertainment is teaching us something. It's just a question of, do we want to realize that we're being taught? And I think, especially as much as I have seen evidence of it, you know, kids just taking everything, you know, like, and I'm thinking about them watching the torture pieces, and I'm I'm hoping that they're not, like, going to go win a Darwin Award for going home and trying to hang each other because they tell the minions do it.
Yeah.
But, nice. I mean, like, without talking to your kid, like, that's not funny. You know, like, this isn't real. You know, oh, gosh. So, Jackson at Christianity Today, almost in his entire review of Minions, left Minions. Like, didn't even really talk about Minions that much. And he raised one really great question, which was, is going to see Minions as a family better than nothing? And kind of arguing this point where, sure, you know, like, people can rationalize it when they leave the film. Like, sure, my kids aren't going to get a lot out of the movie. Sure, you know, there wasn't a lot to take away from the film, but what's the alternative? Just sitting around on our iPads and iPhones? And, I mean, he makes this great thing. And he kind of tongue-in-cheek, but kind of really says, when it comes to a film like this that doesn't really tackle anything, that meanders in the plot, isn't really that funny, maybe sitting around, at least you're all in the same room, like, being on your iPads or iPhones, you'd probably get something more out of that than actually watching this film.
Yeah.
And so, actually, he goes, yeah, he basically goes, to answer his own question, he said, probably you'd be better off doing almost anything with your kid than taking him to see Minions.
I agree. I totally agree with that. I talked to my cousins about that when they were going to take their kids to see it. Like, I don't want to say I warned them, but we talked at length about it, about why it was bad. And they're like, okay. They're like, oh, they were kind of like disappointed when I told them. And then they went to see it and I talked to them afterwards and they're like, oh my gosh, you were so right. It was terrible. I'm like, I'm sad that we spent money going to see this at the theater. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, and then they talked about having more discernment about their Netflix watching and stuff and different things. And it's not just about the content, like we were saying, it's about the quality too. Like, you should be showing your children stuff that they can, their brains can engage with or ask questions about, you know. Mm-hmm. It was just interesting to see their reactions before and after and how they totally agreed that it was, you know, just not something they would have spent with their kids, you know, some time they would have spent with them.
What were you going to say, Josh?
Well, I was just going to say that this was brought up by somebody else too. And they actually mentioned Jackson's review and, you know, we're like, well, is this too harsh? And there was a couple different reviewers and critics who responded just kind of like, no, pretty much this movie is justified to get this kind of beating. Because, you know, I mean, I read the view and I was like, wow. I mean, he must have been like, all right, I'll give it a paragraph and then I'm just taking my gloves off. And, you know, that's kind of the gist of the whole movie. And it's not like they phoned it in at all on this movie whatsoever. I mean, it looks great, and I actually thought it looked too great for a Despicable Me Minion animated kids movie.
I had the exact same thought. Laura was like, actually, so when we left, Laura said, what's the lowest rating you can give a film? And I said, one, that's hilarious. Two, I guess 0 stars? She's like, would you not give it 0 stars? I said, I'd probably give it a star. She's like, for what? I was like, it looked incredible.
Yeah,
I was like, do you see some of like the textures? I was like, it's hard to believe some of that stuff was like animated. It just looks so good.
Yeah, which was really, really interesting because I thought that it looked good, but I felt like the choice of making it look that good actually took away a little bit of what makes the Minions and Despicable Me, just that whole reality. It felt too real, and maybe that goes to the choices made with, like, you know, having real guns and all that other stuff and having the minions actually be tortured. Like, you mentioned that earlier, and I was thinking, but Gru in the other movies, like, in his house, you know, he's got torture devices and all this other stuff. But it's all played off comedically, like, as a close call, you know? Oh, you know, when one of the girls goes in that, the contraption that has spikes on both sides and closes shut. The Iron Maiden, that's it. Iron Maiden! and, you know, then the juice box thing comes out and you're just like, did that just happen? You know, and then it's just supposed to be a joke. You're like, oh, my juice box broke or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of funny. And that's like the, probably the most intense close call you get in that movie besides her unicorn toy being disintegrated in the first movie. But, you know, it's just kind of those things. It's all played off comedically, whereas in this movie, it's just a matter of fact part of the world, which is kind of odd and unfortunate. And I felt like all of those choices, it's not so much the quality of people behind the movie and stuff. It's just all of these choices were made in such a way that it just doesn't fit. It doesn't work at all. And that was unfortunate to me.
Yeah. And speaking of not working, that's kind of what I came away, because like I said at the beginning of the show, the previews had me believing that they were going to dive into some things.
Yeah, for sure.
And the beginning of the movie kind of started to back that up. And I think that's why a lot of the reviews I read were like, yeah, after the first 10 minutes, like, the most profound thing is like the first 10 minutes and then there's nothing.
Right.
And so I was like, two positives I can take away from this, though neither of them are expounded upon at all, is one, there's this idea that there are these creatures and they're created to serve a master, that, no matter what, they need to be in a service of a master. And I was like, that's a very interesting idea. That's very, I would say, countercultural. We don't, we're usually, people don't really think that, any creature is worth anything if its only job is in service to something else. And so, that second idea that flowed from that was that no matter what they do, through all their actions, they'll never do enough to be worthy of that master, because they're always going to fall short. They're always going to fail. And I was like, that's a really profound thing too. And I was like, you could have explored either of these things. And I think Josh and I talked before the show, kind of briefly about, we both had ideas of like how they could have made this movie better. Mm-hmm. I mean, like think of how they could have, I hate to use this word, 'cause it's so loaded, they could have like redeemed this movie, by just having someone accept the minions, even though they kept messing up, not because they were good servants, just because they had compassion for the minions. Like,
yeah,
I was like, that's a message we can talk about. But no, they just are like, oh, there's a dude who has a freeze ray. Let's chase after him. Boss,
yeah.
Some kind of weird Spanish Portuguese language. Run away.
Yeah. Their language is very strange. I was wondering if you guys thought about this too. Something I suggested to my husband, I was like, this shouldn't have been a feature length film. It should have just been a short on the history of the Minions, and slap it in front of that upcoming Pets movie that studio has coming out, like kind of pulling a Pixar. But a short would have been a lot, it had more punch, and it would have been like just a little short about how the Minions came to be and their little story. And I'm like, it would have been fine, because that's all the content of depth that movie even had, was just a quick review on their history. It didn't need to be a feature length film.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt like it'd be a better short. I don't know if that was something you guys thought about, but
no, well, I didn't think about it at the time, but I think it's a good point, because as Josh said earlier, one of the things that we didn't get in this movie, like the Minions never really, I just realized what I was getting ready to do. I was going to say they never really grew. I don't recall any like character development. Like, they're like, we need a thing. We go to get a thing. We're still looking for the thing. I'm like, that's a sitcom episode. That's not, that's, you end up where you began, so you can do the thing. You can do something very similar next week. Like,
right.
I feel like there should have been a development. Like, we realize something about ourselves, and we realize that we need something greater than what we've been searching for, but nothing really changed. I was like, meh. So anyway,
yeah,
I mean, like Josh, was there like, I don't know if we've hit on it already, but was there some way that you felt like they could have, kind of tweaked that?
I felt like maybe if they had taken that family that they met at first,
uh-huh,
and Scarlet Overkill, and maybe thrown in a third villain who is maybe a little bit more righteous or good natured. Mm-hmm. They could have had it be sort of a plot line where they're trying to basically find the right master still. And the conflict between the three of them could have been like Kevin, Stewart, and Bob each having a favorite and sort of becoming, you know, like one's attached to this one, one's attached to this one. And it sort of becomes this battle and this conflict between all of them. And they eventually come to realize that it's like, you know, maybe they should be following the one who's a little bit more righteous and good natured towards them. Like the family might be the most promising one, but it turns out that they're not really that great of a family. Scarlet Overkill is kind of the crazy yelling one who just blows things up and wants a crown because she wanted one when she was a, you know, 5-year-old. And, you know, then they eventually at the end, they sort of realize like, hey, we found a master and we're serving them. They're a little bit nicer, but they're still a villain, you know, kind of like a Gru post Despicable Me 2 kind of Gru type character, and then just throw in a twist ending to get it back to Gru, where Gru shows up and does something, and then they follow him because it's like he's clearly the best, and it's just supposed to be a funny ending, you know, to set up, you know, like your sitcom ending. They end up in the same place to go to the next place to eventually, you know, be serving Gru someday. So, you know, I kind of felt like that would have at least added a little bit more intrigue and a less inconsequential plot to the movie, even if it maybe would have still kind of come off as dumb.
Well, there you go, Illumination. 3 perfectly free ways that you could make your movie 100 times better. So do that, make it a director's cut, and then we'll all forget that we were so disappointed by this film. Well, I say disappointed, but disappointment is usually followed by expectation, and I think my expectations are pretty low. Mm. But, full disclosure, I did tell Josh this. I totally fell asleep during this film. I never fall asleep during movies. I was so bored. Speaking of being so bored, just because we got started a little late tonight, I wanted to kind of head this into the wrap-up direction a little bit earlier than we normally would. We've talked about the fact that we obviously didn't like a lot of things about this film. And usually we only have a moment or two that gets to be our come on moment. But Alexis, feel free to vent. This is your time. Tell us what really bothered you about this film.
Okay, this is going to be kind of funny. But the part that just like made my skin crawl was when the minions walk onto the moon landing and they're implying that it was fake. I was like, you know what? Don't even go there. Don't even go there. And I was just like, I'm about to put my hair up, but I have a pixie cut, so I don't even need to. But I was just really, yeah, that really bothered me. I didn't like, yeah, some of the historical things they were implying. Just, I don't like agendas like that. And even though it was like subtle, like it was supposed to be short, you know, and, you know, it was supposed to be, no, I'm not done. She's sorry. My cat's going off. yeah, no, that was just the one thing I was just like, okay, you know what? I'm done watching with, with an unbiased heart. I don't know. It just really bothered me. I mean, I don't know if other people would feel the same, but it was kind of annoying.
Did you feel like you had suddenly been teleported to Texas and you were reading some kind of weird textbook or something that no one else read?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, Minions was actually written by a bunch of truthers.
Oh, all right, Josh.
Yes.
Take your pedestal.
Oh my word. All right. I think the biggest thing that bothered me, I mean, of the legion of things that bothered me about this movie, had a lot more to do with that, you know, I kind of jokingly said in my theater preview of the movie the Thursday before it came out, you know, it's the sequel that nobody asked for. You know, and this movie was so unbelievably over commercialized. Like today I had my hands on 2 things that were branded with the Minions. I had Minions fruit snacks and an Amazon package that had the Minions on them. And so, you know, and that was the first time Amazon had ever done that, to brand their packages with something. And, you know, there was, you know, I, in my review, I linked to the Minions blimp that they made. Strange. And I mean, it's totally justified from like a commercial standpoint, because they made, you know, a ton of money. And yeah. I mean, obviously justified what they spent on it from a completely ledger standpoint. But it was just, it was really hard to take in how commercialized the movie was, but then how poor the final product was. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel slightly hypocritical because, you know, Marvel movies are branded well, and I'm going to see Ant-Man tomorrow. And so it's, you know, I'm seeing a movie that's been branded and advertised and all that other stuff, but I'm pretty sure that the quality of the movie is going to be a lot, is going to justify the commercialization. And it's the same thing with, you know, The Force Awakens when it comes out in December. This, I mean, this movie is being hyped and groundswelled, and it's being branded everywhere, and it's only going to get worse. And it's just, you know, but it's hard when it's been branded and it's been commercialized so unbelievably widely, and then the product is so bad when it comes out, it just really so gets bad. Under my skin. And it's just, the hardest part about that is seeing the movie still make a ton of money and knowing that this is going to happen again.
Oh yeah.
And that
there's, you know, they're on bananas, though. Did you know that?
I doesn't surprise me.
The bananas I have right now, there are Minion stickers on them.
Very nice. It doesn't not surprise me at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I think, because I think about it from this standpoint, like, the reason that my kids were excited about it is they liked the previous movies, and also it was in their face all the time.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And so it's really disappointing for my kids when I won't take them to it, and they get mad at me, and that makes me even madder at Illumination and Hollywood for doing this to me. And this is one of the only podcasts that I volunteered for the summer, because I knew no one else would want to talk about this movie. And so it really gets my goat that this movie was not very good. And I don't mean in a way, like, it wasn't offensive to me. Like, I'm not, you know, I'm not getting on a soapbox because of all that. It's just, it was boring. And when you make boring, that is bad. Mm-hmm. Boring is bad.
It was very badly written, you know, humor-wise, everything. Even character development, too. So, I agree.
Yeah.
And character development.
What is that?
Or lack thereof, I guess.
Yeah. You know, and it's just disappointing. It was disappointing because I tried to play out that thread in my review as much as I possibly could. The thread of wanting to serve a master, and that's a really unique concept that you're not going to get in a movie a lot from the main protagonists in a film, that we want to serve somebody. So that's really interesting, and that's really fascinating, and has potential to say something really great. You know, because there's a deeper long, and I feel that was even teased out or sort of possible from Despicable Me 2. You know, mm-hmm. Gru goes from being the bad guy to being the good guy, and the minions don't abandon him; they stay loyal to him, and they still continue to serve him. So, you know, there's kind of that redemptive role of the minions wanted to do bad, but, you know, the person they were serving was doing good, so by proxy, they're doing good, even though they want to bash each other over the head with, you know, mace and, you know, with other stuff. So it's just, you know, it was extremely disappointing that it ended up being as bad as it was, because I felt like if at least, you know, I didn't think that I was going to see a worse movie than Home for, like, a kid's animated movie. And I couldn't believe it was Minions. I was shocked because of how much I liked the first two, you know, Despicable Me and Despicable Me 2 movies.
Well,
and so it was really disappointing, because I took my kids to see Home, and I didn't want to, and I don't want to take them to see this either. And that really disappoints me, because I was really looking forward to taking them to go see the Minions.
Well, I think that's, I hear what you're saying, and I've seen this before, and I can't think of an example right offhand, but whenever you have a built-in audience, like people, like they're already going to love it.
Yeah.
Or let's take like when I was going to go see The Phantom Menace, I was like, I already love Star Wars.
Oh no, you're not.
I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this because you know it deserves it. People are already going to love it. They're going to make a bajillion dollars. You had to do so little in The Phantom Menace to make it good. And there, I mean, people still enjoyed it as bad as it was, or as bad as it still is. Because, I mean, they were already predisposed to liking it. And I feel like you don't need to do much. And they barely even did that, especially with this film. And so, and that's disappointing because, you know, like I said, all you got to make it is mediocre and you're like, okay, kids, we'll go see it. It's not the greatest film in the world, but you love the Minions. They're everywhere. Now you've seen it and now we can go do something else, you know? but it wasn't even that good and it would have taken, feels like it would have taken such little effort.
Right.
So I'll say again, like I said, I am not a prude or I've historically not been a prude, but this film lost me once the family pulled out guns. I was like, I don't even think these people know what kind of movie they're making anymore.
They don't. They didn't, I mean.
Yeah, and then, because then it progressed from there. Because I, like I said, it shouldn't have bothered me so much, but there's a lot of people that died in this movie. Like, bad guy, like, all the, like, there's tons of bad guys that kept dying, like, in this movie. Like, oh, well, I guess he's not going to be the bad guy or the thing anymore. And actually it kind of freaked me out a little bit. And I noticed it didn't make the final cut for the movie, but in the trailer, like when the king guy slips and he gets impaled with the sword and there's like blood everywhere.
Did no one see this in the trailer?
That was in the movie.
It was?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think the blood was.
No, not the blood. No, there wasn't any blood, but he did get impaled.
Okay. So, like, yeah, so, like, he gets impaled with us. I'm like, that's not, like, that's not family entertainment. Like, no one gets impaled in Shrek, you know? Like,
yeah.
And that's
well, and then Dracula burns alive and a few other things that were in the trailer, too, in the movie.
Yeah. So, I was like, I just didn't think they knew who they're making this movie for or why they're making this movie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, like I said, so there was that, which made me uncomfortable to be, like, in a theater full of kids with it. And then there's something I don't think would have bothered me at all, but then I was in the theater with all the kids, and I noticed that every time the sumo superhero came on, there, like, the whole theater was like, ew! Every time the sumo guy was on screen, I was like...
I forgot about him. He was kind of disturbing, too.
I was like, yeah, okay, I guess. That's kind of weird. Like,
he's the sumo underwear guy?
Yeah, he's just big. And I was like, okay, all right. That's weird. So,
yeah.
I was like, oh, wait, he's going to be on screen again. Here comes the chorus of ooze. And every time.
Oh, all right, that's pretty funny.
All right, so before we give our final thoughts, where we actually let the podcast end on a down note, let's try to end the podcast on a positive note and try to pick out anything favorable we had about this movie. So, Alexis, was there anything that you actually enjoyed about this film?
I believe that was Jeffrey Rush narrating in the beginning.
Yes,
I like that. That made me happy, and then I was like, nope, afterwards.
I'm fine with that. I was like, Jeffrey Rush. All right. I wonder if he's going to be somebody. Nope, wasn't. Didn't matter. But yeah,
his narration was great.
Yeah, but for that little amount of time,
mm-hmm.
It was sublime, right?
Yeah.
all right, Josh.
All right, so there was a couple things that actually, there was two things that made me snicker, and there was one thing that made me laugh. Like I said before, the concept of a villain con was... pretty timely considering that it came out right around the time of the San Diego Comic-Con, and it was pretty, it was just a funny idea to, you know, sort of have these group of villains, getting together and going to this con together. It was, I thought it was funny, and I thought it passed too fast, and maybe it was just wistfully longing for them to just linger there forever instead of going to the rest of the
city. What city was it in? Was it Orlando?
Orlando.
It was like, like Florida somewhere.
Yeah.
Which is just like, blah, oh, Orlando, of course, you know, because that's the home of like all the branded Minions junk. So, but you know, I thought that was kind of funny. I thought it was a funny idea. It just didn't really go much of anywhere.
It was clever. Yeah, I agree.
And I liked the news reporter's description of the Minions as dwarfed, jaundiced children. I thought that was funny. And then the only thing that made me actually laugh out loud in the movie is what I missed the most and enjoyed the most about the Minions in the past is when they make a nonsensical comment to each other and then they all laugh at the same time. And it's like, it's the thing that made the Minions so funny is when they would make, you know, kind of a joke to each other, but you could kind of understand what they were saying and then they all just start laughing. And they only did that maybe once or twice in the whole film. And I thought that was just, you got away from what made the Minions funny.
Yeah.
And that was another point that was disappointing, but I liked it when it happened in the movie.
Well, let's see. So I thought the movie wasn't necessarily funny, but kind of clever when it was like, oh, this is the 1968 version of Orlando before they, I guess, built all the theme parks when it was just a swamp because it's in Florida. I thought that was clever. because of the idea of Villain Con being like the first kind of amusement branded thing, you know. It's what everything else in Orlando is built on top of. I don't know if they meant it to be that deep, but I thought, like I said, it seemed clever to me. And I'm kind of grasping for straws because without that, honestly, and very cynically, my favorite part of this movie was when it was over.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was so happy to leave the theater. And then my favorite moment was watching like the utter disgust on my wife's face as she described to me how terrible she thought this movie was. That actually kind of made it amusing. Cause she's clever and smart. So, you know, she says things in clever and smart ways. So I was amused. Well with that, you know, the favorite part being when it's over.
Yeah.
I want to take just a second. Alexis, do you have any final thoughts about the film? Anything that we missed or you just want to wrap up with?
I'm just really sad that it's making so much money that will perpetuate more films like it. So, amen. Sorry to end on a down note, but that really depresses me.
Mm-hmm. Josh?
Final thoughts would be for a bonus episode of Netflix Your Weekend. If you truly want your children to go to a movie and you don't want to go see Minions because you listen to this podcast in its entirety without having seen the movie yet, I would definitely suggest that you go see The Secret of the Kells on Netflix because that movie is quality animation, quality movie, and older kids will actually like it. Younger kids might not understand it or be able to hold their attention. But it's those kind of movies that I wish that were going to be in the theaters instead. Mm-hmm. But instead, it's this movie, and that is rough.
Yeah.
So,
So that's
Song
the thing.
Song of the Sea was also good by those people. So
yes.
Just thought I'd throw that out there.
So this is what we do. We're going to have to compare it to something, right? Like, we're always going to end up comparing animated features to animated features and be like, well, if you like this, you should probably be watching this because it's way better. And Secret of Kells, Song of the Sea, both highly rated, both not seen by almost anyone in America, especially kids. I mean, honestly, they're probably seen by, 25 to 40 year olds who just like know about that those type of movies.
Totally.
Yeah.
Foreign animation, basically. So, what I would do is I would say, okay, go see Inside Out 20 times before you see this movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
say we want more movies like that. I mean, I feel like we're all saying something very similar, you know? I realize that lots of people are going to do it. You know, no matter how many Transformers movies you make, Transformers is going to make $1 billion, even if you want to vote with your dollar and not go see it. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Same thing's going to happen with a Minion film, but tell people that if they make movies that are thoughtful and considerate, like Inside Out, that people will go see them. And I knew people would be comparing the films anyway, so I mean... The only thing I could think of when I got home, and I think Josh maybe referenced this in his Minions write-up, was that I said, if Inside Out is like filet mignon, delicious, juicy, and filling, then Minions is like gas station sushi. Mm. It's not fit for human consumption and completely regrettable in every way.
Or Twinkies. Or did I go too far?
No, Twinkies are amazing.
Yeah,
Twinkies is the equivalent of me going and see Terminator Genesis. Mm. So I know it's not healthy for me, but I enjoy it so much.
Mm.
So,
and Twinkies were also branded with Minions.
That's, I'm sure they were.
Yeah, and they look like Minions, so you know.
Well, I'm sure they're probably making almost everything look like Minions this day. You slap a Minion on it, you're going to sell way more of it. It's just,
that's true.
It's so crazy. Okay, so with that said, we are now finally done beating this film up.
Yeah.
If you've enjoyed us beating this film up, then I suggest you follow the work of our incredible guests. I would also suggest that something we don't get to do very often, because we typically, even if one of the people in the discussion doesn't really like the film that much, we usually have something to pull out of the film, something to talk about, and someone who enjoys the film to some level. So we kind of get all sides of things. I just could not find anyone who really enjoyed this film. That at least was trying to be thoughtful about their entertainment. So there's a little caveat there. If you're out there and listening to this conversation was tough for you because you just love the Minions, you thought there was depth there, you thought there was a good reason to go see this film, you cannot see a reason why you wouldn't take your kids or your nieces or nephews or younger cousins, you know, whatever kids age type people that you have in your life, you know, you have no problem taking them to see this film. We want to hear from you. Like, let us know. Keep this discussion going, because we always want to be open to new perspectives. It's why we try not to use phrases like good and bad, even though inevitably we're going to use phrases like good and bad. Because perspective matters, and people get different things out of movies from other people. And that's why experience matters, which is why we typically don't just get on this podcast and say, hey guys, Minions, 1 out of 5 stars, don't go see it. See you next week. You know, that's not what this is about. It's a conversation trying to get to the bottom of why these movies are made, what they're fit for, and what they're teaching us and our kids and our grandparents, whoever goes to see these films. So, like I said, with all that, talk to us. Specifically, talk to Alexis, talk to Josh, and Alexis, how can people do that? How can people find you and your work around the interwebs and the world?
Well, I would say I use Twitter the most for that. I have a Twitter account for myself, Alexis P. Johnson. And I also have a website, realcathedral.net. And that's where I post all about films and discuss them, the inner depths of film and television and even music videos, different things. And then Real Cathedral also has a Twitter account. I would say those are the two primary places you can find me, are Twitter and at realcathedral.net.
Awesome. Josh?
You can find me on Twitter at Hey, It's That Josh. You can hit me up on the Facebook for movie lovers called Letterboxd. I love talking there. I love having people talk to me, like when I do reviews and then people go, hey, I saw your review on Letterboxd. Why didn't you like this movie? And
that's always what it is too.
Oh, totally. No one's ever like, wow, I really appreciated your deep understanding of this film that you liked. obviously most of the work, pretty much all the work I do is at Real World Theology, writing 3 times a week-ish for the site, pretty much now down to doing the top fives in our theater previews on Thursdays, along with throwing in my hat along with everybody else in the Netflix Your Weekend on Fridays. And just keep watching. I've got that Star Wars series that started recently that I'm working on furiously, getting my love of the wars onto the Real World Theology website. You can find that at Real World Theology. And you'll find my nice, kind voice here a couple times a summer and some more times in the fall right here on the podcast.
Yay!
Woo!
Well, you can follow me at Fizzification on Twitter, or you can follow the show at Real World Theo. If you'd like to know more about Real World Theology, if you haven't already, visit our website, realworldtheology.com, where you'll find lots of awesome information, like where you can talk to people like Alexis and Josh and our other contributors to the podcast and our written content. Connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. Look for a new episode the 1st, 10th, and 20th of the month on iTunes or Stitcher. Or heck, just subscribe. If you enjoy it, review the show, leave us some feedback, tell your friends, and let's get more people involved in the conversation. We are so, so grateful for our excellent guests. So please, 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 follow them on social media and around the web where they put their work, especially if it's at Real World Theology. How about that? but meanwhile, we are so, so, so grateful for you, the listeners, for taking time to make us a part of your week. So until next episode, remember that story is powerful and entertainment is not mindless. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Banana.
Well, there's one thing I can do, and anyone can tell you this, it's talk. So I think we'll be okay.
Oh.